Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. I'm your host, James Ryan, and on today's episode of the podcast, I will be discussing the five movies that I have seen at the movie theater over the last month or so. It has been since October 31st. That's how long it has been since I've recorded a new podcast. I'm excited to be back. It was really, really nice to take a little break, but I am ready to talk movies. Towards the end of the episode, I am going to be talking about what is coming up in the weeks ahead now that we are getting to the end of the year. A lot of great movies are going to be coming out, a lot of movies that are going to be up for awards. And also, I do want to preview what is happening next year. I do want to also talk about the Spielberg episode, which I have been planning for months and months, and I'm still working my way through his filmography. I will give a released date for that podcast towards the end of today's episode. So let's go ahead and get started with our first movie here.
Whose land is this? My land.
Well, 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 our war hero has arrived.
You made a good choice coming back here. Osage are the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth.
Killers of the Flower Moon. This is, of course, directed by Martin Scorsese. He co-wrote it alongside Eric Roth. This is based on a 2017 nonfiction book of the same name. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, and Lily Gladstone, along with Jesse Plemons, John Lithgow, Brendan Fraser. There's lots of big cameos in this movie. This movie is definitely going to be nominated for Best Picture. It is a super, super long runtime, but it is a movie that is just so technically well made, and I wouldn't expect anything less from Martin Scorsese, even as he gets older and older. But this is one of my favorite movies of the year. When I talk about my top 10 favorite movies in a few weeks here, this one will probably be on the list. The only thing that I had a little bit of trouble with this one is Leonardo DiCaprio's character, and you don't really see this in the trailers, but he is incredibly for lack of a better word, he is incredibly dumb. And it is kind of hard to root for him from point to point. And I know a lot of Martin Scorsese films have these super, super flawed characters. When you think to Goodfellas, when you think to Casino, when you think to The Departed, I don't know. I still found myself rooting for some of the characters. Leonardo DiCaprio's character in this one is a little challenging to root for. But whenever him and Robert De Niro are on the screen together, it is just absolute magic. Lily Gladstone, who there's another movie she was in this year that I have been meaning to watch. I think it's about her taking a road trip out west. It's supposed to be really, really good as well. I had not seen her in anything. She does absolutely fantastic here. Just the entire cast. It is a movie that is well worth seeing. It will probably be back in theaters at some point. I would recommend just checking it out at home. I would have said the same thing about Martin Scorsese's last movie, the one that before this, The Irishman. I think it's a movie that definitely, if you can sit through the entire thing without needing a restroom break, I think it's worth seeing in theaters. And Martin Scorsese would say the same thing. It deserves to be seen in theaters, of course. But it is definitely, due to the length, I think one of those movies where it doesn't hurt to take a few little breaks or even have an intermission for yourself while watching it. But it is well, well worth seeing. It's just incredibly well acted. Some of the shots in here, I want to go back and study this film. It's just absolutely beautiful and one of the best movies of the year.
General, we are discovered.
Good.
Wait!
Spies! It's a trap! Retreat!
Ridley Scott's Napoleon. This is a movie that my expectations going in were fairly low, just based on all the reviews and all of the press I was hearing surrounding this movie. I think Joaquin Phoenix gives a good performance. I think the battle sequences are fantastic. I think the music, I don't know, sometimes I think it's a little questionable. Other times I thought it really suited the film quite well. It's incredibly well made. It is one of those movies where the script falls short. And I am not an expert on Napoleon's life, but I would venture to say that his life was a lot more complicated than what was shown on film here. Ridley Scott is trying to cover a long, long period of time in a 2.5-hour span. It is a movie that he's planning on coming out with a 4-hour cut of, which I would actually be interested in possibly checking out, even though I didn't love this 2.5-hour version.
I'd just be interested to see what they cut out, because they really just focus on Napoleon's relationship with one woman and then the battles that he was in, and then a little bit of about his exile towards the end of his life. But yeah, for me, there's something missing here. And I have to say that that probably comes down to, I didn't feel like I understood anything more about Napoleon from this. I didn't understand him as a man. He's kind of shown as just this, like, this is who he is, just this very, very simple historical figure, where I do not think that is probably the case. This film is not one that I would recommend seeking out. I don't think it's going to be nominated for very much when it comes to award season. The battle sequences are absolutely incredible to see in a movie theater, but outside of that, I can't say that I had a very, very good time with this one.
You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Being with you is already one big detention.
Son of a...
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
Alexander Payne's The Holdovers is my pick for best movie of the year thus far. It will definitely be talked about in one of the podcasts that is coming in the near future. It features an outstanding Paul Giamatti performance, just an outstanding performance from pretty much all the cast members. A very, very moving story, a very funny story, a story that has some twists and turns, and an ending that just absolutely punches you right in the gut. This is the movie that I think people should go out and see, that is coming out during the holidays. If it is playing at a theater near you, I would definitely, definitely recommend checking it out, because it probably won't be there for super long. But wow, this movie is exactly what Napoleon was not. Napoleon's script was just absolutely horrendous. Whereas this movie, the script is just so, so, so sharp. And I am so excited to check this one out again. And I am jealous of those people that have not had a first viewing experience of this one, because it is just absolutely incredible. Godzilla Minus One. This is the first Japanese Godzilla movie since 2016, I think Shin Godzilla. And I was super, super excited to check this one out. I am not the biggest Godzilla fan. I watched the 1954 one multiple times. I think I've seen a few others in the series. This is a movie that is definitely focused on the actual horror elements of Godzilla, one that is focused on the trauma of war, the trauma of Godzilla just completely wrecking any city that he goes into. This is, yeah, a story of family trauma. There is just so much going on here. And the action sequences are absolutely phenomenal. But I found myself kind of annoyed by the main character. I understand what they were going for, and I understand the story that they wanted to tell, and I think it could have worked very, very well. But it is a movie that has pretty much every single possible trope in it. It has multiple sequences in which characters are in danger and then they are saved at the last second. There is one very, very obvious sequence like towards the end that is supposed to be this big, big, big moment where a character is making some sort of sacrifice, and you know as the viewer that he is going to be fine. So that is definitely problematic. And then this movie seems to take some risks in which, like, oh, some important characters are dying, and this is getting into spoiler territory. So if you want to see this movie, hold up. But then it kind of goes back and takes some of those dramatic moments and just kind of takes it back. And I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way in that regard. And for that reason, I don't know, this is probably the best Godzilla movie ever made, especially when it comes to action sequences and why people pay to go see a Godzilla movie. And it's a movie that was really trying for this human story. It's just the story in the way that it was told, it was not very powerful, because all the characters ended up for the most part being fine by the end. And so the important sacrifices in this movie
are not actually sacrifices. And I felt a little cheated as a viewer because of that. I felt that that definitely just really dampened my enjoyment of this one. I think it's an awesome movie theater experience if you can look past some of those elements. Just for me, I really, really had a hard time stomaching them. But I think there's a lot of enjoyment to be had in this film. I think it's a film that a lot of people are enjoying. It's almost at 100% on the tomato meter. It just was not what I was hoping for. It definitely was lived up to the spectacle. But the human story that so many people were talking about really did not work for me in just the way it was told. So I would recommend going to see it if you're a fan of Godzilla, making up your own mind on it, because it seems like most people are very, very positive about it. And I seem to be one of the few people that is not enjoying it as much. The Boy and the Heron, Hayao Miyazaki's latest film, the first feature film he has made since 2013 with The Wind Rises, which was originally supposed to be his retirement movie. We'll see if this actually is. If it is, it's definitely him going out on a very, very high note. The fantasy elements here are just absolutely fantastic. It tells the story of a 12-year-old boy who loses his mother in the opening sequence of the film, and then is consequently just suffering and traumatized from that. And when it appears as though his mother might not actually be dead, he enters into this fantasy world. If you are a fan of Miyazaki's work, you are going to absolutely love this one. I did see it in Japanese with English subtitles. I've never seen any of Miyazaki's works with the English dub. I just am against dubs, even though I hear the Miyazaki dubs are fantastic and they have really well-known people reading the lines. It is just, there's something about the original Japanese that I just really, really like when it comes to these movies. It is a movie that is definitely stronger in the first act and the third act, and there are definitely some lulls in the middle from time to time. But like I said, this is, Miyazaki just at the absolute height of his powers, and he's 82 right now. So I don't know how many more he has in him or if this is his absolute last one. And I didn't read a whole lot about this before going into the movie. I didn't really want to know, and I didn't actually read too much afterwards either. But supposedly this is, like Miyazaki said, his most personal or one of his most personal films. It definitely packs a punch, an emotional punch towards the end of the movie. Really, really pays off. There are a couple of characters that I just didn't enjoy spending as much time with. And that's just, I mean, that's how these movies go. There are just so many little characters in it. And I don't know. I just had a really, really good time with this one. The music is absolutely incredible. A little bit of it played on the trailer before I started talking about this, but if you're a fan of his work, this is more of the same. Definitely a different story, but just some of those thematic elements remain discussions and thoughts on mortality, how we interact with nature. All of those things are present here, and it is just absolutely a fantastic piece of work. And if this is indeed Miyazaki's last film, he is definitely ending it on a high note. So that is going to do it for today's episode of Ryan's Reviews. Looking ahead to the next 3 weeks, episodes are going to start coming back every Saturday at 1 o'clock from here on out. Next week, I am going to be doing kind of the holiday preview episode where I am just talking about all the movies you should be seeing in December. Hopefully, if you have some time off of work, hopefully there's some time to watch some good films. So I'm going to recommend a few that I saw earlier in the year. I'm also going to talk about some movies that I'm looking forward to checking out over the break. And let's see, the 23rd. I haven't quite decided what that episode is going to be yet, but if I had to guess, it will just be a kind of a normal episode where I'll be talking about one movie. On the 30th of December, I am going to kind of talk about the year in review, give my top 10 movies, and then the first week of January, I'm going to be doing a big, big 2024 preview. It is almost upon us. So, and also the Spielberg episode is going to air March 31st, or I don't even know. Let's see, what day in March is that? March 30th, 2024. That is when the Spielberg episode is going to air, in which I talk about Spielberg's entire filmography. That gives me enough time to check out the rest of his work, and it gives a concrete date so that I can't really get out of it. So looking forward to that. It's a few months away. Afterwards, I haven't decided which director I will be looking at next, hopefully one with a shorter filmography. I'm thinking of doing Paul Thomas Anderson, but yeah, I'll decide on that next year. Also, looking ahead to next year, I started another podcast that I kind of have neglected, and that is First Playthrough. And the reason I've neglected that is because it is a video game podcast, and I have not, this was not a year in which I did a whole lot of gaming. I probably watched, or I probably played 4 or 5 games total. So I have put that back up on Spotify. First Playthrough. It's on, in the video game category. Also, if you search my name, it might show up as well. But I talked about the games that I've beaten over the last year, year and a half. And then hopefully we'll be finding some time to beat some games coming up, because it was an absolutely fantastic year in gaming. I just didn't get around to very much of it. I still am slowly working my way through Tears of the Kingdom. Really, really taking my time with that one. Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake 2, which is like, I really, really want to play that. Baldur's Gate, like they're just, yeah, incredible games that I just did not find the time for this year. But hopefully 2024, I find a little time to play some new ones and talk about them. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Ryan's Reviews. I will be back on Saturday to talk about all of the movies coming out during this holiday period, and I hope that you can join me then.